Right? Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. So has anybody caught on to a theme over the past couple of weeks? What, Marlene?
Ephesians.
Ephesians, yeah, yeah. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, yeah. There's another theme going on. There's a theme of music. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. So the very first Sunday, do you remember what it was, what the song was? One of my favorite all-time artists, Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered. Yeah, I'm yours, signed, sealed, delivered. And that's where Paul was talking a lot about the Holy Spirit and how we are. And I talked about the baptism, actually. So Cam, who's back there, Cameron Timothy, was one of the babies that was baptized on the church property. And remember I had shared with you how I had said, you know, his words, Cameron Timothy, beloved child of God. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. He can say, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Yeah, because God said to him, signed, sealed, delivered, you're mine. And then last week, do you remember what last week's was?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was that, you know, that we talked about West Side Story. We talked a lot about where Paul at that point is talking about those who are in and those who are out. Who was he talking to, by the way? Was he talking, are these Ephesians the insiders or are they the outsiders? They were the outsiders. From Paul's perspective, the insiders at that time were the Jewish people, the outsiders were the Gentiles. And he's saying, you were once outsiders, you are now inside. And we talked about how we can see the other, someone who's not like us, as being the outsider. And we put it into perspective of today's world and what that sounds like and looks like, what that experience is like. But then we heard the words of somewhere. Where is the somewhere? Right here. What is it? Somehow, somewhere, someplace. Someplace right here. Somewhere right now. Somehow is in Christ. So today, we hear more of Paul's letter to these people. Did you know what Paul's Hebrew name was? It was Saul. Yes. But interesting, he doesn't use his Hebrew name anymore. He begins to use his Greek name, his Roman name, Paulus, his Greek name. So who exactly is this Paul? Well, we don't get to hear his story, his call story and how God found him. We don't know who he is unless we read about it a little bit in the letter he wrote to the church in Galatia or whether we've studied the book of Acts. So who exactly is Saul turned Paul? He was a Pharisee. And he was probably one of the most strictest and stringent of all the Pharisees. He studied under, and I'm always going to get this wrong, so George, feel free to correct me as I get it wrong. Gamaliel. Yes. Who was an unbelievable teacher. So back then, when you were in what we would consider today to be grade school, okay, so under the age of 10, 13 is when you become a full-fledged member of the Jewish society as a man. But probably around the age of 8, 9, 10, there is something that they are instructed that they have to do, and that is memorize the Torah, word for word. Word for word, the first five books of our Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I can't even memorize a paragraph. Can you imagine? And only then will the top and the brightest be able to go on to the next step.
And this particular rabbi, Pharisee, that Saul studied under was like one of the most elite. And so to be selected by him, because that's what happens, you're selected to come and follow and learn. You have to be the brightest, the best. And that's why Paul says, I am the brightest and the brightest. He's not bragging, oh, sure, he bragged, but he's stating a fact that I was the brightest and the best. I could tell you and interpret God's law inside out. I'm not just talking the Ten Commandments. I'm talking all of the laws because he knew them inside out. He was, they could ask him a question, he could interpret the law, kind of like what we call today a judge. What was his mission? His mission was to maintain the law, God's separate people, those that were chosen. And so when Jesus came along, you think he was a fan?
No.
No. Especially when Jesus died. Okay, that's the end of that. We'll have no more of that because this man was not the Messiah. And then Jesus rose and appeared to some of Jesus' disciples. And these disciples started going around and telling everybody what was going on. And there were people that were converting. And Saul said, I have got to put a stop to this. God bless you. And so Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death. As a matter of fact, he egged on the people. Stephen, who was a disciple, who was an apostle, who followed Jesus and proclaimed, he was there and egged them on. Absolutely, get rid of this guy. We got to get rid of the infidels. We've got to get rid of these heretics. They must be gone. And he truly, truly, truly believed that what he was doing was God ordained. He truly believed it. He takes it a step further. He goes to the high priest and says, I want you to sign these papers, their warrants, that anybody who is following the way, who is following Jesus, I get to arrest them and I get to bring them back here to Jerusalem. Now, you think they're going to make it back to Jerusalem? Saul says yes, they will. So he heads out with a couple of his buddies, and on his way, something happens to him. He is struck by this incredibly blinding flash of light, and I mean literally blinding, that it knocks him down. We might say he was struck by lightning, but it knocks him off his feet, and he hears this voice talk to him. And this voice says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And now Saul answers, Lord, not as in Lord Jesus, okay? Lord, because that's what they would say, like master, you know. Who are you? And the voice says, I am Jesus. I am the one you are persecuting. He says, now, Saul is unbelievable, you know, he's like, oh my gosh. He's speechless, gets up, and says, well, he doesn't get up yet. Jesus tells him, get up, go to Damascus, and wait there. So he kind of crawls around. His friends help him up because he is now literally blind and cannot see. So he goes to Damascus. And for 3 days, he eats nothing. He is in constant prayer, and he sees no one. What do you think he's praying? And I'm going to stay with our theme of song. How deep is your love, Lord? How deep is your love? I really need to learn. Recognize that song? The Bee Gees. How deep is your love? Because something has happened to Saul. He has been really knocked off his feet. And he's saying, I don't understand. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really need to learn. At the same time that he is praying, another disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus in Damascus, Ananias, is basically told by Jesus in a vision to go to Saul. Go to him and tell him what I'm calling him to do. I'm calling him to go and to preach the word, me, to the non-Jewish and the Jewish. Now, what do you think Ananias' reaction to that is? Are you kidding me? This man, do you know who this man is? He's going to kill me. And Jesus is like telling him, just go. So I'm wondering if Ananias started praying. How deep is your love, Lord? How deep is your love? I really need to learn because I don't understand this at all. Ananias shows up at the house where Saul is staying, lays hands on him, tells him what the Lord has said to him. And by the way, Saul had a vision that this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, what appears to be like scales fall off his eyes and he can see again. Huh. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I think I've learned. Paul has shared this story, his call story with the people in Ephesus, this non-Jewish outsider, unclean group that he should never be associated with. He shares the story of God. First, who God came to, God's chosen people, Abraham, who will be the father of many nations. The Israelites, who were God's chosen people, who were led out of slavery and bondage. He then goes on to talk about God, who left God's throne and came to earth in the form of a baby. God incarnate, God with us, to teach Jesus, to teach, to heal, to save. How God, in Christ's death and resurrection, gave freely to all. And there it is. To all, forgiveness, reconciliation, one with God. How through Jesus, God has poured out the Spirit for them, just as God poured out God's Spirit upon Paul, the Spirit who opens hearts, the Spirit who opens minds, and the Spirit who not just help us learn about God, but help us experience God, so that all are brought into, and I say all, into the community made holy through the Holy Spirit every single day. So this non-Jewish community, the Ephesians, can continue in that song. We believe in you. We know. Sorry. It's I believe in you, but they sing. We believe in you. You know the door to my very soul. You're the light in our deepest, darkest hour. You're our Savior. And I'm changing the end of this Bee Gees song. Our all in all. That's what they get to sing now. You're not just my light, but you're our light. Today we got to overhear Paul praying for these people. Because in the next chapter, Paul's calling them to not just hang around together, but to go out and be God's people, which is what we're going to start talking about next week. But he does something first. He prays for them. Did you hear that prayer? And that prayer is this: Holy Spirit, strengthen all of you. All of you. Christ, may Christ dwell in your hearts. May all of you experience Christ's love. And he prays this for them because he knows what he's going to tell them that they will need to do next. Not because they have to, but out of love. You know something? This prayer is for us today because we are them. We are not the original Jewish community. We are not the Gentiles as we understood Gentiles to be back then. We're the outsiders that someone invited us into this fellowship. It may have been our parents at a young age. We may have come into the fellowship, wandered away from the fellowship, and come back into the fellowship again because somebody else invited us into this place. So we get to invite others. Have you ever asked the question, because I know I have, how deep is your love? Lord, how deep is your love? I really need to know. Who's the included group here? That's what I need to know. Does it include those who we today call outsiders? Paul thought that, didn't he? And yet he was raised to understand a certain way, yet God showed him in Christ a new way. Is it the ones that are to be included or the ones that don't look like me, that don't sound like me? Are the ones who are to be included those whose gender identity maybe I don't understand, I don't want to understand, or I just don't like or don't agree with? How deep is your love, gracious Lord God? Is it deep enough that you include the ones who identify as gay, lesbian, and bisexual? You fill in the blank when you ask the question, does it include? Because you know something? That's what Paul was asking. Jesus gave Paul the answer. His question was, does it include the Gentiles? And the answer came screaming through to him. Our question may be different. And the answer will come screaming through for us because it is the same answer that was given to Paul. All means all. This prayer is for us today, that our hearts and that our minds might be open. This prayer is that the Holy Spirit strengthen us, that Christ's love dwell in our hearts, that we become aware and experience and know Christ's love for all, that the Holy Spirit reveal the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of a gracious Lord God, that that breadth and depth and height and length has no boundary. Why? So that we are moved to share the good news. And I don't like to say good. The great news. The incredible news. Just like Paul shared. So that every single person can proclaim, we believe in you. You know the door to our very souls. You're the light in our deepest, darkest hour. You're our Savior. Our all in all. Oh, yes. Amen.